Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
National View. Leave no stone unturned investigating two black men hanging from trees. The Point. We must determine conclusively whether or not these men were killed by others. The image of a black man hanging from a tree is seared into the American psyche as the embodiment of racism in all its ugliness and cruelty. Lynchings of African Americans through the civil rights era of the 1960s challenged the nation's perception of itself as the land of liberty, justice, equality, and rule of law, and we have seen to our horror that even today, racial hatred can still descend to murder. So even if a hanging in the Antelope Valley might look at the authorities' first glance like suicide, that simply must not be the end of it. There must be a thorough probe, and findings must be made public. The body of 24-year-old Robert Fuller was found June 10th in a tree near Palmdale City Hall. Officials quickly labeled it a suicide, but protesters, to their credit, immediately demanded a deeper investigation. So did Los Angeles County Supervisor Catherine Barger. How likely is it that a man would hang himself from a tree? It is not unheard of, but it is hardly reassuring to note that 3 weeks earlier, the body of 38-year-old Malcolm Harsh was found hanging from a tree in Victorville, a desert city at the opposite end of the storied Pear Blossom Highway from Palmdale. Coincidence is possible, but so is a pattern. We don't have enough information yet to know. Until a generation ago, much of the desert just north of Los Angeles and San Bernardino was dotted with mostly white communities that attracted families seeking homes that were more affordable and a lifestyle that was less urban than what was found in the packed cities south of the mountains. They were joined in the 1980s by a large migration from L.A. of black families. The relatively quick demographic change brought some tension and several instances of violence. L.A. County District Attorney Jackie Lacey is today vocally opposed by protesters, angry that she has not prosecuted police who have killed unarmed black men. But as a young deputy district attorney assigned to Lancaster, not far from Palmdale, she prosecuted the killers of a homeless man whom they had met at a McDonald's. Lacey said that they had to set out to kill a black man and that, when they had done it, they celebrated by getting tattoos. Lacey won the county's first hate crime convictions. Here we are in the 1990s in Southern California, she recounted as a candidate in 2012, and you have a racist group that has decided to murder people much the way they did in the South and got away with it in the 50s. The verdict was about this. We are not going back there. Justice will be served. It was a message to anyone else out there who would even think of engaging in this behavior that we're just not going back there. That's a sentiment that ought to ring true today. We will not go back there. Those are the words that ought to be on our minds when we see the videotaped killing of Ahmaud Arbery, who was chased down this year by white men in Georgia and shot to death. We will not go back there, and yet here we are. Arbery's killing has the look and feel of a lynching, even if, in this instance, there was no rope and no tree. That was the South, but those same words echo when we see the killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis. And yes, Floyd was killed not by a lynch mob, but by a police officer. Yet the brutality and gratuitousness of the killing lend it the caustic flavor of a lynching. We will not go back there, yet here we are. People around the nation are marching in resolve and anger against the continuing individual and institutional and deadly anti-black racism still ingrained in our society. We struggle with the lines that separate the killing of people like Breonna Taylor in her own home by police officers from the killing of people like Arbery by civilians. So we do not, we must not, simply shrug and say suicide when black men are found hanging in trees. We leave no stone unturned until we can determine conclusively that these men were not killed by others but by themselves. And then, if we conclude that it could not have been murder but must have been suicide, we must recognize that our work is not done. We will have to ask ourselves, why would a young black man in the 21st century United States kill himself? Suicide in the black community was historically low, but is on the rise, especially among teenagers and young adults. Where did we go wrong? And whether it be murder or suicide, how do we prevent such a thing from happening again? The Los Angeles Times. This is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, June 23rd, 2020. Page 2, read. MCH welcomes two new physicians. OA News at OAOA.com. Medical Center Hospital ProCare recently added two new physicians, an orthopedic surgeon and a pediatrician. Dr. Dinesh Goda is the pediatrician at ProCare Healthy Kids, located at 3001 John Ben Shepherd Parkway, and Dr. Daniel Babel is the orthopedic surgeon at ProCare Orthopedics at 519 North Lincoln Avenue. Specializing in hands, wrists, and elbows, Babel came on board April 8th. Goda started in October and cares for children from newborns to 18 years of age. His areas of specialty include newborn care, well child visits, sick visits, immunizations, school physicals, and he also sees asthma and ADHD patients, among others. Babel has been practicing for about 9 years. People are always putting their hands where they're not supposed to go, so it keeps me busy, he said. Babel grew up in Grand Junction, Colorado. He graduated from Brigham Young University with a bachelor's degree in exercise science. He went to medical school at Creighton University in Omaha, Nebraska. Residency training is 5 years in orthopedics, and then Babel put in an extra year in Oklahoma City working on hand, wrists, and arms for a year and learning the details of how to be better in taking care of hands and hand injuries at Baptist Hospital and the University of Oklahoma. I think the great thing about orthopedics is that our treatments get people better. So often in medicine, we're dealing with chronic conditions, so you treat them the best you can, but you never cure it. But in orthopedics, a patient walks in with a problem, and a lot of times you can present them with a solution. You have a good chance of getting people better. There's a lot of unfortunate diseases going on that there's not a good cure, so you're just trying to support and help the patient the best you can, but there's not always a fix with so much of what our bodies undergo during life, Babel said. I think the second reason, which it took me a while to realize, my dad, when he was in college, was playing with some fireworks, and he blew off most of his fingers. This was way back in the 60s, so at that time there was talk that he might lose his entire hand. But there was a hand surgeon who was able to save what's left of his hands, which is a couple nubs of fingers and part of his thumb. So I grew up with that. I saw how functional he was with only one part of his hand, and I think subconsciously that always made me gravitate towards taking care of hand injuries, Babel said. The variety of potential hand injuries from the oil field is part of what drew Babel to Odessa from Wichita Falls. When someone needs help, he said, they don't have to go off to a faraway university or somewhere else. they can get care in Odessa. He added that there is a hand surgeon from Midland, Dr. Matthew Brown, who covers for him. Over the years, Babel said, care has improved. So often, wound care now is a very reasonable option instead of amputations. We can get stuff to heal. We have better implants, as far as plates and screws, things such as that, that allow us to get better stability of broken bones. The wound care and then the internal hardware advances have been pretty huge that allow us to take care of a lot of these injuries that previously probably would have resulted in amputations or just lack of function, he said. Babel moved to Odessa from Wichita Falls, where he and his family were for 8.5 years. He and his wife, Sarah, have 5 children. Although he hasn't been with ProCare long, Gauda has been in Odessa for 7 years working for Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center. I was born and raised in India. I graduated from one of the best medical schools in India. I did my pediatric residency from New York Presbyterian Columbia University, Irving. I was chosen to be a chief resident and stayed there for another year as a chief resident. I was supervising 24 residents and teaching them. I started my tenure with Texas Tech University and worked there for 7 years, Gauda said. He added that he also was an associate professor at Texas Tech and contributed significantly to medical education. Gauda is certified by the American Board of Pediatrics, is a fellow of the organization, and an active member of the Texas Pediatric Society. Gauda, who has been in practice for almost 10 years, said he moved to ProCare because he wanted to do more clinical work and provide service to the community. I decided to become a pediatrician in medical school because I always enjoyed being around kids and also volunteered in pediatric hospitals during my high school years. So they're just fun, playful, sincere, and very trusting, Gauda said. So many of the pediatric problems are treatable, and it gives me immense pleasure watching these kids getting better. After being in practice for almost 10 years, I am certain that I made the right choice. He added that he loves being able to see his patients grow and change. I've enjoyed the relationships I've built with families, Gauda said, whether it's prescribing medications or just giving them advice. There's nothing as rewarding as having a parent say thank you, he said. Gauda and his wife, who is a hospitalist at MCH, have 2 children, a son and a daughter. The last couple of months, he said, have been slow due to the COVID-19 pandemic, but he encourages parents to bring their children in for immunizations. Patients also are offered telemedicine, but if they do want to come in, he and his fellow physicians see them in the afternoon. Lately, we're having very few sick visits because the schools are closed. We don't really see a lot of sick patients, Gauda said. He added that the clinic's goal is to provide exceptional pediatric care in a warm, nurturing environment. The clinic also believes in complete and comprehensive care for children. We are extremely pleased to have Dr. Gauda and Dr. Babel join our health system, said Russell Tippin, president and CEO of Medical Center Health System. With a growing population, it's important to have an experienced and caring pediatrician like Dr. Gauda for families to have access to. With us also being right in the middle of the oil patch, it's important to have an orthopedic surgeon like Dr. Babel to handle the array of oil field injuries we see constantly. We are very lucky to have them on our team. Public art to promote public health. OA News at OAOA.com. Volunteers from Odessa Arts, Discover Odessa, and Connection Christian Church on Monday began covering the 38 jackrabbit sculptures around Odessa to encourage the community to wear masks when out in public. We have over 500 COVID-19 cases in the Odessa Midland area right now, and those numbers keep climbing, Odessa Arts Executive Director Randy Ham said in a news release. When Reverend Dr. Don Weeks approached me with this idea, I knew it would be a great way to use our public art to send a message to our community that COVID is still a very real threat and we should all do our part to help mitigate the spread of the disease. The masks were designed by Connection congregant Leslie Gillian and are being decorated by children at Connection Vacation Bible School this week. Connection Christian Church's heart beats to serve this community, and it's so fun to be able to do it in this whimsical way, spreading such an important message. Executive Director of Discover Odessa, Monica Schoner, agrees. The Jackrabbits have been a part of the Odessa landscape for nearly 20 years. It's nice to see them repurposed to promote the safety and well-being of our community. Volunteers plan to have all the jackrabbits covered by the end of next week. To find all of the jackrabbits, visit Discover Odessa. For information on the public art program, visit Odessa Arts. Visit their website to learn about Connection Christian Church. Odessa Arts, odessaarts.org. Connection Christian Church, odessaconnection.church. Discover Odessa, odessa.org. County to consider buying aerial drone to combat dumping. Commissioners take up inmates' care. OA News at OAOA.com. Long concerned about illegal dumping in the rural areas and specially funded to deal with it in a November 2018 sales tax election, Ector County Commissioners today will consider buying an aerial surveillance drone for use by the county's Emergency Management Environmental Services Department. Precinct 1 Commissioner Eddie Shelton said Monday that his jurisdiction has been more plagued by illegal dumping than any of the other three precincts. I don't know of another precinct that has had near the amount of issues we have, particularly in West Odessa, Shelton said. The best way to catch them is by people seeing them and taking pictures and getting their license numbers. But a drone can certainly help us sneak up on them and get their license numbers. If they see us coming, they take off. The commissioners will also hear Sam Brizalba from the County Human Resources Department review a drone purchase application for the Sheriff's Office and from the Public Sector Services Office of Travelers Insurance Corporation. In other business, in the 10 a.m. session at the County Administration Building at 1010 East 8th Street, Health Department Director Brandy Garcia will propose increasing the pay of epidemiologist Amrinder Shahal from $29.89 to $32.33 per hour. Garcia has reported that the workload greatly increased after the mid-March rise of the COVID-19 pandemic. An epidemiologist deals with the determinants and patterns of health and disease. In a health-related matter concerning county jail inmates, the court will peruse a professional services contract for the Ector County Detention Center with the Texas Tech Health Sciences Center. The commissioners will also consider seeking a refund from the Texas Area Agency on Aging for paper goods and additional items that Summit Food Service is now buying during the pandemic. Discuss auctioning surplus materials from the various county departments. Consider authorizing Judge Debbie Hayes to sign any and all documents and approve expenditures related to the pandemic. Here, Environmental Enforcement Director Ricky George's request to let a former county employee buy custom-fitted body armor. review a resolution to use the 2020 Help America Vote Act CARES Fund to respond to COVID-19 in preparations for the November 3rd general election. This is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, June 23rd, 2020, OAOA.com. Driver in fatal crash identified. OA News at OAOA.com. The driver involved in a fatal crash that occurred at 2:47 a.m. June 21st in the 4000 block of West Highway 80 has been positively identified as Felipe De Jesus Leon Molina, 33, of West Odessa. Next of kin have been notified and the investigation continues. On June 21st at approximately 2:47 a.m., Odessa Police and Odessa Fire Rescue responded to West Highway 80 and West Loop 338 in reference to a major crash. Investigation revealed that a 2002 Ford F-150 being operated by an unknown subject was traveling westbound in the 4000 block of West Highway 80, a news release said. Investigation revealed that the driver of the F-150 veered off the roadway and struck the median before flipping upside down. The driver was pronounced deceased on scene, and there were no reports of any other injuries, the release said. Alcohol was a possible factor, and the investigation continues. U.S. Representatives Garcia Castro call on ICE, to release migrants. By Stacy Fernandez, The Texas Tribune. U.S. Representatives Joaquin Castro, de San Antonio, and Sylvia Garcia, de Houston, called on Immigration and Customs Enforcement on Monday to release detainees at risk of catching the new coronavirus and to increase testing at its facilities. The Texas lawmakers, in a call with reporters Monday, described a pair of immigration detention centers as prison-like after they visited the South Texas ICE Processing Center in Pearsall and the South Texas Family Residential Center in Dilley. As cases surge in Texas and the pandemic rages on, the representative said, ICE should release all detainees who are not a safety risk and who are more vulnerable to contracting the virus. The conditions are bad. These people are living in a petri dish, said Castro, chairman of the Congressional Hispanic Caucus, which hosted the call. Across the nation, detention centers have become hotspots for the coronavirus, putting immigrant families and ICE officers at risk of contracting the virus. Last month, the GEO Group, which runs the Immigration Detention Center in Pearsall, came under fire for a lack of transparency in its efforts to prevent the spread of the coronavirus within its facilities and the outside community. In early May, the Immigration Detention Center was linked to more than 90% of Frio County's confirmed COVID-19 cases. ICE barely lifts a finger to make sure that these folks are safe, Castro said. Unlike other hotspots like nursing homes and prisons, ICE has yet to conduct comprehensive testing for staff and detainees, nor does it have a directive to do so from the White House, Castro said. One of the detention centers has a rapid COVID-19 testing machine, but it's constantly passed around among centers, Castro said. He argued that by now, the immigration detention centers should each have at least one machine so they can test detainees, ICE employees, and anyone else who enters the facility. The conditions are terrible for these folks, Castro said, adding that ICE isn't doing their job and are doing a disservice to their employees and to the people who are detained and imprisoned at these facilities by not taking proper medical precautions. ICE did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Garcia said she's not convinced recommended health protocols are being followed within the detention centers, though ICE employees told her they were. While detainees wore cloth masks, Garcia said, they were mostly crowded in rooms where they couldn't practice social distancing. The detainees she spoke with told her the masks weren't distributed until about 2 weeks ago, ahead of the visit, and that mask mandates are rarely enforced for detainees or staff, she said. Even if half of it is true, it's still not a good scenario because it looks like it was window dressing for our visit, Garcia said. This story was first published at tinyurl.com/y8v68p6c by the Texas Tribune. The Texas Tribune is proud to celebrate 10 years of exceptional journalism for an exceptional state. UTPB fall classes start in August. OA News at OAOA.com. The University of Texas Permian Basin will start fall classes August 24th. Classes will continue through December 11th for the fall. However, after Thanksgiving break, students will not be required to return to campus. The remainder of the semester will be held virtually, a news release said. Students will have flexibility in choosing their mode of instruction. Both on-campus, face-to-face, and online learning will be offered. In a hybrid setting, some days students will report to the classroom, and other days their instruction will be online. This structure will promote social distancing and maintain small numbers in the classroom. Faculty members will determine which students will come to the classroom on certain days and which students will be online, the release said. We are determined to navigate COVID-19 challenges in a way that is responsible and continues to provide our students with the highest quality educational experience, UT Permian Basin President Sandra Woodley said. On-campus housing will also look different this fall. The occupancy standard will be one student per bedroom and two students per bathroom. To reduce student interaction, residents' life staff will assign roommates based on shared characteristics, such as by athletic teams or academic discipline, the release said. Move-in will be extended over several days to allow social distancing. There will be self-isolation spaces on campus should a student become ill. However, UTPB will encourage anyone who gets sick to leave campus if feasible. Dining will still be offered to students by Chartwells, the university's contracted provider, when they come back this fall. All on-campus dining locations will be open to provide additional options. This includes the residence and dining hall with limited capacity, the Student Activity Center, and the Mesa Cafe. Extended hours will be available to serve as many students as possible while minimizing risk. There will be no self-serving and takeout will be available, the release said. As for next spring, Communications Manager Alexa Dunson said the university is taking it one semester at a time. It's not known whether the same guidelines will be followed for spring 2021 at this point. Dunson said UTPB will continue to monitor the COVID-19 situation just to make sure there isn't a huge spike in numbers and students will be informed of plans before they come back. On the net, utpb.edu. Archway Properties developing turnkey build-to-suit for Team Incorporated's Permian Basin expansion. OA News at OAOA.com. Houston, Archway Properties is breaking ground on a 28,222-square-foot turnkey build-to-suit for TEAM, Team Incorporated, an integrated, digitally enabled asset performance assurance and optimization solutions company seeking to establish a brick-and-mortar presence in the Permian Basin's petroleum-rich fields of West Texas. The Houston-based developer and team have signed a long-term lease for the project, which will deliver in early December. The office warehouse will be developed at 196 Allen Brown Road on a 5.2-acre tract in Leco Industrial Park in Odessa. Team, headquartered in Sugar Land, has locations in more than 20 countries. The Odessa facility will feature a 7,000-square-foot office for the firm's engineers and technicians, plus 21,222 square feet of warehouse and light manufacturing space, which will be outfitted with a 5-ton bridge crane and overhead coiling doors for drive-in access, a news release said. Team needed a facility in the Midland-Odessa area to service its pipeline integrity and maintenance customer base in the Permian Basin, Ben Allen, an Archway Properties partner, said in the release. Archway Properties has allowed for future expansion when the tenant is ready. The single-story office, warehouse, and storage yard will encompass 3.5 of the available 5.2 acres, building in room to grow as needed. The site plan calls for 39 parking spaces and a truck staging lane looping around the building. Team's core business at the Odessa facility will be somewhat resistant to fluctuations in the oil market because existing pipelines still have to be maintained regardless of production, Allen said. That built-in resiliency enables us to move forward with a BTS project for a new client despite present-day challenges. Joe R. Jones Construction Incorporated of Weatherford is Archway's general contractor for the Odessa project. On the net, archwayprop.com, archwayprop.com. Samuel J. Key, Fort Worth, Texas. Samuel J. Key, 62, passed away May 7, 2020, at Medical City Hospital in Fort Worth from a prolonged illness. Samuel was preceded in death by his father, Alfred Pete Key, New Mexico, sister Bobby Parker, New Mexico. Samuel is survived by his mother, Betty Murphy, Odessa, sister Jolene Moore, Odessa, brother Nathan Key, New Mexico. He is also survived by his daughter, Jessica Key, Arizona, great-granddaughter, Oceana Key, Arizona. He was cremated and will be interred in New Mexico. He will be forever missed by his family and friends who love him. Lakota Roy Nelson. Lakota is spelled L-A-C-O-D-A. Odessa. Lakota Roy Nelson, age 31, of Phoenix, Arizona, passed away on June 18, 2020, in Odessa, Texas. A memorial service will be held at 4 p.m. Wednesday, June 24, 2020, at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home Chapel, with Reverend Dr. Jimmy Braswell officiating. Lakota was born March 29, 1989, to Marika C. Nelson and Mark E. Nelson in Phoenix, Arizona. He married Kirsten N. Nelson on May 11, 2012, in Odessa, Texas. Lakota was an amazing father, wonderful husband, and a great friend. He would do anything to help the people he loved. He truly was an all-around amazing person. He loved guns, motorcycles, trucks, loud music, and having barbecues. He was an amazing cook and did his absolute best and gave his all in everything he did. Lakota is preceded in death by his little brother, Shard F. Guevara, his grandmother, Betty Jo Nelson, and grandfather, Donald F. Nelson. He is survived by his loving wife, Kirsten N. Nelson, his children, Logan R. Nelson, age 3, Elena N. Nelson, age 1, his parents, Mark E. Nelson, Marika C. Nelson, sisters, Ayana J. Nelson, Taylor H. Roberts, grandmother, Kimberly J. Pike, grandfather, Mickey G. Pike, and so many of his amazing and loving friends. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send family condolences, please sign his guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Death Notices. Hilario de Larry Pancho Acosta, Odessa. Hilario de Larry Pancho Acosta, 81, of Odessa, died Sunday, June 21st, 2020, in Odessa. Celebration of life is scheduled for 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Thursday, June 25th, 2020, at Acres West 24-Hour Chapel. Rosary will be recited that evening at 7 p.m. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Robert Eric Evenson, Odessa. Robert Eric Evenson, 66, died Sunday, June 21st, 2020, in Crane. Services are pending with Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Felipe de Jesus Leon, Odessa. Felipe de Jesus Leon, 33, died Sunday, June 21st, 2020, in Odessa, Texas. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Sunday, June the 21st, 2020. The opinion page. Guest view from the Dallas Morning News. Abbott should mandate masks in stores and large public gatherings. Governor Greg Abbott says 20-something Texans aren't taking precautions, such as wearing masks when they go out, and that is the reason they're coming down with the coronavirus. It's a good reminder, but the governor, who held a press briefing Tuesday to discuss the status of the virus in Texas, should not stop there. He needs to issue an executive order mandating everyone to wear a mask when they go into retail stores and large public gatherings. The coronavirus is still dangerous, and while Texas businesses are reopening as they must, we all share the responsibility to keep each other safe. Those who think they're invincible are part of the problem, regardless of their ages. In Texas, coronavirus infections are rising, as are hospitalizations. Harris and Dallas counties have emerged as hotspots since Memorial Day, with Dallas reporting at least 6 consecutive days of at least 300 new positive tests. Arizona is an example of what not to do. The state recorded an alarming 7,121 new cases between May 31st and June 6th, a 54% increase over the previous week, and the largest week-to-week increase since the pandemic began. And not surprising, Arizona has also seen a spike in hospitalizations. With most Texas businesses in the process of reopening or increasing occupancy, we need to hear something more definite from Abbott about rising infection and hospitalization levels in Dallas and Harris counties and the restaurants that are closing temporarily over safety concerns. Some restaurants completely shut down until all employees test negative and quarantine for 2 weeks from the time of possible exposure. Other restaurants sanitize their buildings and take other steps to enhance customer safety. More testing may be a partial explanation of higher infections, but it's only a guess, not a certainty. If the state has a plan B, the governor or another state official needs to tell us now. Schools are preparing to reopen, and high school, college, and professional sports are gearing up for a return to competition that makes social distancing difficult. Participants will test positive, and they will move in society just like the rest of us. If mask wearing and social distancing are the best weapons we have at this moment against coronavirus, then public policy should move from polite suggestions to an executive order. A shutdown on the scale of the previous shelter-at-home orders are impractical. As it is, about 2.4 million Texans have filed for unemployment assistance, and retailers on the edge of financial collapse can't weather another shutdown. Nor can state and local governments who depend on sales tax revenue. No one expected the reopening of Texas businesses to be smooth and without challenges. All of us have it within our power to social distance, wash hands, and wear masks for the health and safety of our fellow Texans.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Tuesday, June 23, 2020. Movies in the Park kicks off Friday. The City of Midland Parks and Recreation Division is launching its annual Movies in the Park series on Friday. Social distancing will be encouraged during the movies, which will begin at dusk. People may bring lawn chairs, according to a press release from the city. The schedule is Friday at Hill Park, Lion King, July 10 at C.J. Kelly Park, Abominable, July 24 at Hogan Park, Toy Story 4, August 7 at Beale Park, Aladdin, August 21 at Windlands Park, Frozen 2. City pools open on alternate days. Doug Russell Pool and Washington Family Aquatic Center are open, but because of staffing and coronavirus limitations, are operating on alternate days. Russell will be open Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. Washington will be open Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. Both pools will be closed on Mondays for maintenance and training. Entry passes, which are $3, will be sold for three-hour sessions. They go on sale at the pool 30 minutes before the posted opening times and are good only for the day of purchase. Punch cards will not be sold this year. Because of staffing limitations and coronavirus precautions, there won't be private parties, lap swim times, swimming lessons, or family nights. Pool furniture will be removed from both pools, but swimmers will be allowed to bring chairs. The schedule is Washington, noon to 3 p.m. and 4 to 7 p.m. Wednesday, and Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. and 5 to 8 p.m. Sunday, Doug Russell, noon to 3 p.m. and 4 to 7 p.m. Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. MISD serves summer meals. Midland ISD summer meal schedule is in effect. Breakfast and lunch meals will be available for grab and go 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Monday through Friday at 11 locations, according to a press release from the district. Meals are available for any child 18 or under, or those who receive services from school. The locations are Bonham, Bowie, Bunch, Burnett, Dizavala, Rusk, Santa Rita, South, and Yarborough Elementary Schools, Fire Station No. 4, and Twin Oaks Mobile Home Park. Daily menus are available at MidlandISD.net under Child Nutrition Services. Grocery store hours during coronavirus. United Supermarkets, formerly Albertsons, 6 a.m. to 11 p.m., 1002 Andrews Highway, for shoppers 60+, 7 to 9 a.m. Monday and Thursday, 3317 North Midland Drive, for shoppers 60+, 7 to 9 a.m. Tuesday and Thursday, HEB, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m., customers 60+, orders can be called in 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at 833-397-0080. Groceries will be delivered by Favor Delivery. For more information, go to newsroom.heb.com. Market Street, 6 a.m. to midnight. For shoppers, 60+, 7 to 9 a.m. Monday and Thursday. Walmart, 7 a.m. to 8:30 p.m., 7 to 8 a.m. curbside delivery pickup for first responders and customers 60+, with disabilities or at risk. Today in history, Today's Tuesday, June 23, the 175th day of 2020. There are 191 days left in the year. On this date, in 1972, President Richard Nixon and White House Chief of Staff H.R. Haldeman discussed using the CIA to obstruct the FBI's Watergate investigation. Revelation of the tape recording of this conversation sparked Nixon's resignation in 1974. In 1988, James E. Hansen, a climatologist at the Goddard Institute for Space Studies, told a Senate panel that global warming of the Earth caused by the greenhouse effect was a reality. 10 years ago, following General Stanley McChrystal's criticism of the Obama administration in a Rolling Stone magazine profile, President Barack Obama named General David Petraeus to replace the Afghanistan commander. Gary Faulkner, who was detained by authorities in northern Pakistan during a personal quest to track down Osama bin Laden, was released. 1 year ago, Democratic presidential candidate Pete Buttigieg faced criticism from angry residents of South Bend, Indiana, where he was mayor, at an emotional town hall meeting a week after a white police officer fatally shot a black man there. Buttigieg said he would call for an outside investigation.
Hello, this is Michael reading from the Odessa American, Tuesday, June 23rd. Epidural steroid injections. To your good health by Dr. Keith Roach. Dear Dr. Roach, after experiencing lower back pain and discomfort, a lumbar MRI revealed that I have L3 through L5 spinal stenosis. My doctor recommends a series of epidural steroid injections. I thought these were high risk and at best provided only short-term relief. What is your opinion? I do not want to incur a worse condition than I have now. Answer. Spinal stenosis is the narrowing of bony structures of the spine, usually by degenerative arthritis, which may lead to compression of the spinal cord or nerve roots. It is a common cause for back pain, especially in older adults, and ranges in severity from mild to excruciatingly severe. The most effective treatment is surgical decompression of the nerves by removing parts of bone. However, surgical treatment is not right for all people with spinal stenosis, and it is reserved for those with more severe symptoms that are unresponsive to other treatments. Epidural injections with a combination of local anesthetics and steroids are commonly prescribed. Unfortunately, the evidence supporting their use is scanty. In one of the few well-done randomized trials, there was no difference in symptoms between those who received anesthetics alone versus those who received anesthetics plus steroids. Since the effect of anesthetics is very short-term, it is likely the injections are not of benefit for most people. The risk of harm is small. Anecdotally, I have had a few patients who reported great relief of pain after epidural steroid injection. However, physical therapy, weight loss, and smoking cessation, if indicated, and pain medication are the mainstays of non-surgical therapy. Seeing son's killer go free opens old wounds for family. Dear Abby, for June 23rd. Dear Abby, my son was murdered 4 years ago by a supposed friend. Despite a 10-year sentence, the murderer was released from prison this month. The perpetrator and my son had some mutual friends. When I go onto the convicted manslaughterer's Facebook page, he has many people congratulating and welcoming him home. The murderer has not once apologized or shown remorse. He was on home incarceration for 6 months before he was sentenced for manslaughter, and during that time, he impregnated his girlfriend instead of thinking about the devastation he's caused my family. My son will never have a family. Instead of announcing to his Facebook friends and family that he's on his way home and that he is home, I feel he should keep his mouth shut and live a quiet life. I cannot believe that murderers and rapists receive respect and congratulations once they re-enter society. Do people not recognize the devastation that has been caused to surviving family members of the victim? Or do they no longer care until something like this affects them and their families? Hurt again in Kentucky. Dear Hurt again, please accept my sympathy for the tragic loss of your son. Nothing can take away the pain of losing a child, let alone at the hand of another person. The family and friends of the person who killed your son appear to have lost sight of the reason for his incarceration. But viewed from another perspective, they are happy to have their loved one back with them, which is why they are posting welcome messages. A resource that might help you is the National Organization of Parents of Murdered Children, Incorporated. You can find it by going to pomc.com. I hope you will give it a try. My heart goes out to you. Dear Abby, the simplest situations make me wonder the most. Recently, we needed to use the local ATM. When we drove by, we could see it was being filled by an armored truck. My husband said I should get in line. I looked around and saw other people waiting in their cars, so I thought I would do the same. My husband repeated that I should get out and get in line. Faced with the choice of standing in line or being nagged by my husband, I chose the former and was the first person to form a line. After 20 minutes standing there and reading the news on my phone, the ATM guards seemed to be finished. That's when a woman approached me and said she had been waiting longer than me, albeit in her car, and I would have to go to the end of the line. I ignored her. Soon, a guard motioned to me that the ATM was available. As I was making my withdrawal, I could hear the woman say to the others, now lined up behind her, that I had jumped the line, and she called me an expletive, which two others in line repeated. Was I wrong to have stood my ground, or should I have moved to the back? Waiting in Texas. Dear Waiting, if you were the first person to stand at the ATM while others chose to wait in the comfort of their vehicles, you owed no one an apology. The person who was out of line, literally, was the woman who called you an expletive, and you were right to ignore her.
Jacqueline Bigger Stars by Madeline Aslan. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. A baby born today has a sun and moon in Cancer until 7:33 a.m. when the moon enters Leo. Happy birthday for Tuesday, June 23, 2020. Magnetic and enchanting, love is vital to you. This often supersedes your career ambitions, and so, during this quarantine time, spending time with your loved ones is bliss. Still, you work successfully when you can and are involved with the arts. If single, you search for love. If attached, you are in love and it must stay this way. Just beware of sharing the details with others. Virgo prefers to keep it private. Aries, March 21 through April 19, 4 stars. Creativity is certainly rife, be it artistic or sexual. Though single and looking, could meet a mysterious, wealthy foreigner. Be forewarned, however, some of you will rethink love and sexual commitments as a result of this. Tonight, is this too much of a good thing? Taurus, April 20 through May 20, 4 stars. Today is a harbinger of major domestic change. If you are planning to change locations, some of the mental preparations and confidential plans could be improved upon. Much financial insight can be gleaned. Tonight, talks with family members will renew optimism about future plans. Gemini, May 21 through June 20, 3 stars. Heed advice from a sibling or neighbor today. You might be surrounded by, but not directly involved in, friends' personal upsets. Remain a bystander. Tonight, you are still in the process of making new friends, and it is important to start with good boundaries. Cancer, June 21 through July 22, 5 stars. All that serious financial planning that has been in your thoughts intermittently finally bears fruit today. This may be in the form of a pay raise or even the start of a new career. The money will not come without hard work, however. Tonight, celebrate. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 4 stars. Today is a time to gain power and control, but beware intense power struggles. Results could be disastrous if pushed. many of you are undergoing a facelift of sorts, as well as profound changes in life attitude. Tonight, exactly as you want it. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 4 stars. It is quite possible that an old love interest becomes rekindled. It may need to be kept hidden or quiet for some reason. Compassion increases, and you will want to help others. Disruption in plans and ideas might occur. Tonight, much is going on within. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 5 stars. Today brings good news from a distance. Today is a green light for plans that have been on hold. Take advantage of favorable aspects for social opportunities. Financial obligations are on the minds of partners and others. Tonight, you are happy. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 3 stars. There will be no sitting on the sidelines today. For the most part, you will be able to charmingly manipulate your way out of any difficulties. However, in certain cases, battles clear the air once and for all. Tonight, life changes are in the wind. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 5 stars. Bring those imaginative ideas to fruition. Lucky breaks await, perhaps in the form of travel opportunities or a sudden windfall of some sort. Dreams really could come true. There are increased responsibilities involving children. Tonight, commitments made now are lasting. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 4 stars. Today brings in extra funds via a spouse or overtime work. But there is a strong possibility that the money will be spent almost as fast, if not faster, than it comes in. The tendency to overdo it either financially or sexually is strong. Tonight, early bedtime. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 3 stars. A chance encounter in a parking lot or a local store could turn into something more. If married, this is the day to heal any wounds or rifts. But beware of intensifying. Some relationships become obsessive with jealousy rearing its head. Tonight, a timeout. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 4 stars. Today focuses on you putting your nose to the grindstone and perhaps beginning a new long-term project. Careful planning and organizing is essential. In regard to your health at this time, make sure there is enough calcium in your diet. Tonight, new financial beginnings. Born today, mathematician Alan Turing, 1912, singer June Carter Cash, 1929, actress Frances McDormand, 1957.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.